It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. It's also available as a podcast. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Before I introduce who else is in studio with me, this has to be done. It is a requirement for today's show. Kobe, hit it. Hello again, everybody. I'm Keith Jackson. We got the Michigan Wolverines versus the Buckeyes of Ohio State. Now, this was Kobe Slagle's my producer, of course, who has to put up with all this silliness. Where else can we incorporate Curtis Mayfield with the University of Michigan fight song? And sitting in with us today, now former associate artistic director at the IRT, now the head of the drama department at the University of Michigan. Oh, I'm sorry, the University of Michigan, Priscilla Lindsay. How are you, dear?
I'm great, Matthew. Thank you for playing that. That just made my day. Go Blue.
Probably the longest intro we've had since we played the Jimi Hendrix Star Spangled Banner. So her last day of work was today, and
yes,
and
was.
Her one of her last commitments besides attending the state fair was to sit in on today's show. So thank you
Yay!
So much for taking time out.
Thank
I'm hearing
you.
I'm hearing the thing out there this year is the fried butter.
Yes.
Fried butter. chocolate.
Covered bacon.
And fried bacon.
Wait a minute. And then something where they put a hamburger between two.
Oh, that's the Luther.
I heard about that.
See, it's so funny. This is a bacon cheeseburger with two Krispy Kreme donuts between it. The problem is they used to be called the Luther for those who are back in the day.
Really?
Yeah, because according to legend, Luther Vandross liked to eat those in his heavy set days. Oh, yeah. And the Boondocks did a whole episode about this called the itis, which is what happens to you after you eat such decadent stuff.
Yeah, well, we're going out there, but I'm not touching that.
Yeah, deep fried bacon. Krispy Kreme cheeseburgers.
Chocolate covered bacon.
I will defend chocolate covered bacon.
Yeah, it's pretty
good.
I could do.
It's sweet and salty.
I could do that.
Yeah,
I could see.
Guess who wants to have it
that.
All the time? The kids' film correspondent. She's not here right now.
Whatever happened to just corn in the cob?
Well, they have that too.
Yeah.
Have they deep fried it yet? They haven't deep fried that either.
Oh, man.
And yeah, and people get angry when you call it the White Expo. Call them, I don't know. I don't know. So no, I'm glad to have you sitting in with us today.
My pleasure.
And well, we're going to start things off. Of course, Priscilla Lindsay is also an actress and a director, and one of the finest actress directors, not named Lynn Perkins. And
So
we talk about what's new in theaters, of course, first. And when we have a classically trained artist like yourself, are we talking about Julia Roberts' new film? No. Are we talking about Michael Cera's new film based on a graphic novel? No. We're going to The Expendables, the new film directed, starring, and co-written by Sylvester Stallone.
Matthew, how could you?
Man,
because it fit my screening schedule so well this week. As Priscilla knows, when you get into rehearsals for a show, in this case for me, I was on vacation, so I missed a lot of the press screenings. So I got up first thing after doing AM radio and saw what film was the earliest that I could go check out, and so I did a double feature of Expendables and Winter's Bone, which we'll get to in a little bit. This is what I do for you folks.
That's right.
This sort of thing. But
they should appreciate it.
But as The Onion has already referred to this film as the best action film of 1985, because you have the 1990 All-Stars, Sylvester Stallone, Jason Statham, Jet Li, Dolph Lundgren, Mickey Rourke, Terry Crews, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Mr. Crosher for you Ultimate Fighting fans, or MMA, or one of those. And, cameos by Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, my God.
Just to remind you that, yes, the three of them all did some restaurant financing as well. And they're a bunch of Expendables, that's their name, and they go around for hire, and this time they are supposed to take down a South American dictator who has links to an American drug lord played by who else? Eric Roberts. Why not? The only people missing are Burt Reynolds and Fred Williamson and Charles Bronson, but Charles is dead. So here's the audio.
They are the world's greatest mercenaries. The only life they've ever known is war. The only loyalty they've ever had is to each other.
Drop your guns!
Got the four on the left.
Why don't you take the two on the right and leave the rest?
You're not that fast anymore.
Oh, here we go.
The only thing faster is...
light.
Exactly.
We'll see.
Well, I got three pieces of work. Two a walk in the park, one to hell and back.
So, we are working for the agency.
I gotta recon this island first.
The only thing you need to know is the job's real and the money's real.
Give this job to my friend here. He loves playing in the jungle. Right?
Right.
What's his problem?
Was that the contact?
Follow me, please. People who fight back are killed. Now you have a dying place. Maybe you can help.
I don't think so. Sorry, I'd leave. Control this picture.
Everything.
We don't have the manpower, the firepower. We'd be dead in the water.
Great. They've got a small army. What do we got? 4.5 men.
That's so funny. You know, it's not easy being your friend.
We will kill this American disease.
I promise myself, I'm gonna die for something counts.
People live through terrible times, but you must believe you can survive.
10 seconds, you won't believe what's gonna happen.
What happened to you?
Got my ass kicked. One push is all you need.
This is philosophy. We watch with wounded
eyes. Are you crazy? Could kill me.
You're welcome.
Every one of us is expendable.
Got a problem with that?
Are you an action star fan, Priscilla?
I like Dirty Dozen. I like Great Escape. Would you consider those?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
That's fine. Back to, there you go.
But I don't think this is the Dirty Dozen. This is the old 10, I think. It's something like this. Oh, boy. Well, you know what? I have to give Sly
credit.
Where do
we start?
Where do we start? I'll give Sly credit. You know, he was one of the big stars to first get stuck into straight to DVD purgatory in the late double zeros, and has made somewhat of a comeback because apparently enough people wanted to see another Rocky Balboa film and another Rambo film. And, you know, Rocky Balboa was, I think that got, I remember calling it the most highly praised mediocre film of the year. And I think a lot of people were happy because it wasn't Rocky V, that you didn't end the saga with that film, which
was
fine.
Was Talia Shire in it?
No, she died. Adrian died. Adrian died. And
I don't remember that. Okay.
In this one, he's you know, he owns a little restaurant. And then thanks to the Booyah Back Network, known as ESPN, they have the simulation between the current heavyweight champ and how would he do in a computer bout versus Balboa. And, you know, the current champ wasn't too happy. So guess who trains for a comeback?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, the first half of the film is really depressing. It's him and Burt Young walking through the old streets of Philly where they shot the other movies and there's nothing there. Then it gets into the music and the training sessions, and it's okay, it's fine, you know. I didn't know Rocky had the Botox eyebrow thing, you know, which is kind of even more distracting in Rambo because he's supposed to be living in Thailand for 30 years. Where do you get work done with these things? Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have probably the dumbest film of the year that I'm recommending. It's this year's Snakes on a Plane. It's just ridiculous lunkhead. I lump it in the same category as Wanted and Shoot 'Em Up, which are, and what I mean by that is, I think everybody involved in this one, unlike the films of the 80s and 90s, everybody knows what they're working with. That kind of helps. And it's not winking to the camera for the most part. They know that they're old. They know that.
But you're recommending.
I can't believe I am, but I would say I'd say have a few beers before watching it. it's just amazing that one, they got all of these people together.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, you like I said, there's a lot of testosterone, so it's, you know, it's a lot of monosyllabic conversations with everybody involved. And yep. I even did. There's a big reunion. I'm sure. Hopefully on the DVD and Blu-ray, there's a cast party with this group. But here are some of the reunions. And Mr. Slagle, I know you know this is Sly and Dolph working together since Rocky IV, and Sly and Eric Roberts worked together in The Specialist, awful movie. Sly and Mickey Rourke worked in the god awful remake of Get Carter back in 10 years ago.
Oh yeah.
Mickey Rourke and Eric Roberts, of course. Pope of Greenwich Village. Good film.
Yeah.
Jason Statham and Jet Li worked together in War. Bad film. And, yeah, so they all kind of, and of course, yeah, the whole Bruce Willis.
How does Mickey Rourke look in this one?
You know what? Mickey Rourke has more to do with this, has more to do in this film than he did in Iron Man 2.
Really?
Yeah, he plays the guy that sets up all of the jobs, and he's got long, you know, two-tone hair and the bad mustache and the long pipe, not for medicinal purposes. He's got a monologue about camaraderie, and he cries. So he already has, you know, I'm glad he got the big paycheck for Iron Man 2, but he didn't do anything in the film. And he actually has something to do in this. So, you know, good for him on that. But the thing I think that I'm actually recommending about this film, besides it being what I talk about ridiculous, there's not a subtle bone in this film. Not a subtle moment.
It is what it is.
Whatsoever. I mean, entrances, lighting with people, you know, the lighting behind people as they enter scenes, taking on and putting off sunglasses. Not a hint of subtlety whatsoever.
Awesome.
It's ridiculous that way. And yeah, there's a scene, and you've seen them in the trailers where it's Sly and Bruce Willis and Arnold. And yes, we all know you invested in Planet Hollywood. I think one of them or two of them came here when they opened back way back when.
Yeah, like 97.
No, earlier than that. I think it was college. College. Probably early 90s in that. So,
I think you're right, yeah.
So, yes, they have a scene together, and it's very cheeky and silly. And Jesus.
So who looks the worst for wear of all of those?
That's hard to say.
Who hasn't?
Probably Lundgren. And I can't believe this. Really? This is something you're never going to see. You're never going to hear this. Dolph Lundgren's best performance in years. Oh, by the way, Jean-Claude Van Damme also not in this film. But he already made fun of himself in JVCD, which Yes, which I actually recommend. Well, I'll talk about that a little later on. But, I mean, everybody's bulked. Well, Sly looks fine because, you know, he got caught with steroids going through the airport. So,
exactly.
You know, this isn't, well, it's not baseball. It's not professional sports. So I guess you can roid up in Hollywood, which is fine.
And aren't they all fairly short in real life?
Well, there's a lot of short jokes at Jet Li's expense, which, as somebody who's 5'5", shut up.
Really?
Yeah. So, I guess he's treated like the Asian guy in the Ocean's 11 series.
He's not tall.
No, he's not tall either. But,
no.
And he can't lift his legs nearly as high as Mr. Li, I might
add.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
What?
Amazing Yin.
Yes, he's treated like that because he's short and
he
Asian.
He's awesome.
I know. but no, there's some funny fight scenes between, there's one between Jet Li and Dolph Lundgren, there's one with Sly and Stone Cold Steve Austin, that apparently, Stallone strained his neck, while we're, not a neck, like he has more than one.
Ain't as young as he used to be.
He pulled his back up.
Something like that. and then there's also, which I don't want to give away, but there's a ridiculous plot twist at the very, very end of the film. I mean, let's put it this way. Eric Roberts even says, you and I are the same. You know, which is a cliche that's been made fun of for over 30 years.
Did you mention any women in this?
You know what? I didn't. But there's two. There's I wish I had her name, but she's, I think, an unknown who is the daughter of the general that's running the South American country. And actually, I wrote this down. I thought of you and Lynn and others.
Uh-oh.
But she's the young upstart that doesn't agree with her dad's politics and brutality. And she's a painter. And when Eric Roberts, the drug lord, sees that he's in cahoots with the general, and he sees that his daughter's a painter, he says, she paints. She's in the arts. That's where it begins. I think Ballard said that. Anyway, yeah.
Oh,
and Charisma Carpenter, who I love to look at, she's got a couple moments. She's got a couple moments as Jason Statham.
Are you president of the Indianapolis fan club?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I never watched Charmed or Angel, but I read the reviews.
Okay.
But no, she's got a couple scenes as Jason Statham's X. That's really about it. I guess you don't need women in this one. I'm sorry. I hate to say this. But,
no, I don't think you do.
But there was also, I think it was, we should pull it up when you get a chance, Kobe. But there was an interesting article a couple weeks ago by Slate.com. And it was, what if the Expendables were women? And I think it was Pam Grier, Sigourney Weaver, Michelle Yeoh, Cynthia Rothrock, also looking old for wear.
Pam Grier looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, she looks great. Angelina Jolie, of course.
Oh, boy.
The only woman that could pick up.
She wouldn't like you to have her name at that other group.
Well, you know what? And this film is better than Salt. This film is better than Salt. It's better than the A-Team. Ah, there it is. Do you have it, sir?
Yeah, thank God it's here.
Okay, so who do they have?
Let me see here. Cruising Crew. You guys keep going.
But yes, I think it's a better action film than Salt. It's a better action film than the A-Team because it knows what it is. It's silly, lunk-headed, monosyllabic, over-the-top silly. That's all.
But young teenage boys are going to love it.
Oh, God, they're going to love this. 13-year-olds and 13-year-olds at heart. You know, there's a scene. I mean, there's literally video game violence going on. Terry Crews has a gun, big gun, which is not Freudian. And, I mean, it blows people in half like it's a video game, like it's Grand Theft Auto or whatever one of those games Mr. Slagle plays at home. I don't know what you play. So, who do they got? They
we got Sigourney Weaver, Stallone.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because she's been around.
Oh, yeah.
Mila Jovovich, Statham.
Oh, no. Statham's a better actor than her. If you get a chance, watch her as Joan of Arc in The Messenger. Ooh, really bad. Okay. Ooh.
Michelle Yeoh, Jet Li.
I love Michelle Yeoh. Oh,
there
she's
you go.
Not.
Sorry. There you go.
Cynthia Rothrock.
She has to be 60. But because I remember watching her action films in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
Did she and Dolph work together? You don't know?
We got Cynthia in place of Dolph here.
Yeah, that's fine. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Sure.
Vivica A. Fox.
Oh, for Terry Crews.
About her.
Yeah, Indie Zone, Vivica A. Fox.
There you
Thank
go.
You. That's right, Kill Bill.
Lucy Lawless for Mickey Rourke.
Oh, my goodness.
She's not that haggard. Come on, now.
Randy Couture's in this?
Yes, I told you. Didn't I tell you that? Was he MMA or UFC or what? Which one is
it? I don't know.
Where it's not boxing?
Yeah.
It's just pound the tar out of you league?
In place of, we got Michelle Rodriguez.
Well, she's also had scrapes with the law, so that's actually pretty good. And then,
and of course, Angelina Jolie in place of Steve Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. Lennon. She'll also give you the stunner and the finger, chug a beer and smash against her forehead.
Because Stone Cold said so.
That's right. That's the bottom line. Wow.
Linda Hamilton for Bruce Willis.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for her to pick up Susie Amos by the ankles and just bludgeon James Cameron, because he deserves it.
Bridget Nielsen for Arnold.
Oh, yeah. She's also wrote for where? She anybody who's Smooch Flava Flav. That's bad. That's
you
real.
Love it.
That's real
you
bad.
You guys are terrible.
I appreciate the fact that you don't quote wrestlers. That's you're all right there.
Is that all right?
Yeah, it's fine.
Good.
And finally, to top it off, we got Pam Grier for Eric Roberts.
I love Pam Grier.
I do too.
Yeah.
She was just on Tavis Smiley.
She was on Tavis Smiley because of her new book,
yeah.
Foxy, which
yeah.
I'm trying to get the publishers to send me something.
Oh.
So, which means I would love to. Any woman that embarrasses me at a film festival, I will. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
What happened?
1998, I was living up in the Chicago area, and I got to cover the Chicago Film Critics Awards, and it was right after Jackie Brown came out. And she got a Career Achievement Award. So they did this Inside the Actor's Studio Q&A session, and I was dating Lynn at the time, and she knew of my love of Ms. Grier. I made my now wife watch Foxy Brown and Coffee as a,
sure.
a sign of commitment. She's still with me. Oh, yeah, well, that's a whole other
you gotta
show.
You got to do this.
You have to watch this, is I think what I said. And I called Lynn up, and I said, I'm going to meet Pam Grier. Okay. And I said, this might be it. I understand. So I go
poor
to the
Lynn.
Event. Oh, I know. I go to the event and I'm in the photo pit and she comes out. She's stunning. She's just absolutely
oh, yeah.
gorgeous. And she's got the black spaghetti string dress and they put the little clip on mic on and the mic was so heavy. It kind of flipped over
yeah.
like this. And like a fool, I blurted out loud by accident. Do you need help with that? And I was not, I swear, I was not being double entendre or anything. And then she picked up the mic and put it to her mouth and said, this young man asked if I needed help. She points beyond me, asked my boyfriend. And I turn around, he kind of sits up and waves and smiles, and I sit and
oh,
wave.
Six foot seven
and,
up.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, I was at she was at a symposium on black cinema, which I attended. And then afterwards, I got to meet her. And like a kid who broke the neighbor's window, I went, I'm the one who said, if you needed help, I'm sorry. And she just laughed at me. And then I called Lynn, and I said, I'm back. I know.
That's a good memory. That's not bad. Oh,
it's a good memory. Yeah, there's nothing like having a woman that you fantasize over just laugh at you.
Oh. She remembered, and she enjoyed it.
Yes, I'm sure she did, as did I. So, anyway, if you're done texting, sir, here's my reaction to The Expendables. I can't believe it.
Now, that was a good movie.
Just have a few in you before you see it. That's all I got to say.
Go.
Also opening is Eat, Pray, Love, of course, with Julia Roberts, where she's traveling to Italy and India and hangs out with Richard Jenkins and Javier Bardem. Scott Pilgrim versus the World, where Michael Cera is fighting all of the ex-boyfriends in his
versus
girlfriend's
the
life.
This
is the world. Thank you, Charles. And this is from Edgar Wright, the man who gave us Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, which I was told also has video game action movie style action scenes, as opposed to romantic style action scenes. And playing a little bit of catch-up, not the condiment, also in theaters.
Thanks for clarity.
You have to articulate at times. But we have the drama Winter's Bone, which is set in the Missouri Ozarks. And the oldest child of three, mom is out of it, dad has skipped bail, and daughter finds out dad put the property on bail. And if he doesn't show up for the court, they lose the house. So it becomes this kind of Ozark noir story of trying to find
this
Paul.
This was a big novel, wasn't it?
Apparently it was so.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Here's a sample.
Way down in Missouri where I heard this melody, the old folks were humming, the banjos were strumming, so sweet and low.
Mike Centerfield, A1 Bonds.
What is it you want?
We hold the bond on Jessup Dolly. He didn't show for court.
That ain't no run.
Jessup signed over everything. If he doesn't show at trial, see, the way the deal works is, y'all gonna lose his house here, Got some place to go?
I'll find him.
Girl, I've been looking.
I said I'll find him. You see, the law was out here hunting Jessup. You know where he's at? I wouldn't tell him nothing if I did. I really gotta run Dad down to get him to show.
You ought not do that.
Dad's your only brother.
I don't know where he's at, and I ain't gonna go around asking after him neither.
No match you be? I'm Ree. My dad's Jessup Dolly.
You ain't here for trouble, are you?
I got a real bad need to talk to him.
Falcon just calls his witnesses.
How long before we get kicked off our own property?
I reckon y'all got this place about another week.
The law found Jessup's car. Somebody set fire to it. He wasn't in it.
Do you know there's people going around saying you best shut up? People you want to listen to.
Get out of the truck. Put your hands where I can see them.
Is this going to be our time?
There's stuff that you're going to have to get over being scared of.
Get off!
Don't hurt my sister!
Get in the house!
No!
He was warned, and you wouldn't listen.
So I call the film Ozark Noir.
That sounded really good.
It is. It's and you know, this, according to the story, was everybody in it's pretty much unknowns. Although there's one, I was talking with a worker at the theater I went to see this at, and I was told one of the guys was, if you remember Mr. Slagle, the convenience store clerk in From Dusk Till Dawn, the mm-hmm. guy with the one scene. But everybody else is pretty much local slash unknowns, and it's a really tight little thriller of, you know, this 17-year-old girl who has to take charge and try to find Paw, and coming across
him,
unknown, a whole, I mean, it's just, wow. I mean, a really, like, first-time director, and a really, I think, a star-making performance by Jennifer Lawrence as the teenage daughter. I mean, it's the, like, the Carey Mulligan performance last year in An Education of, who is this girl? Where has she been? You know,
yeah.
this was pretty amazing. Wow. So I'm really, really hoping at the end of the year people remember Jennifer Lawrence's name. And Winterbone won the best film at Sundance. So that of course got it a huge push.
Sure.
So yeah, kudos to that. And you know, it's been in Indy for a couple of weeks. I just saw it today. And by the way, folks, free refills are a great idea. And taking free popcorn home is a great idea until you turn right for the first time. Now
you're gonna have to clean out your car.
The gas station vacuum cleaner is gonna be very happy between now and then. So anyway, no, go check it out. It's a grown up film. It's a grown up film in the summer. You know, I would put this with some of the other films I've deemed the best of the summer so far. Inception, Kids Are All Right, I Am Love, the Girl Who Played with Fire, and this. So go check this out.
It's on my list.
All right, hit it, Kobe.
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay, we are going to take a short break. We're going to talk about some new titles on DVD and Blu-ray, and then I'm going to talk to Priscilla Lindsay about ethics and the University of Michigan. And I'm not talking about their football squad or their coach.
Watch it.
I know, but they hired Rich.
Come on. We're giving him one more year.
Are we?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Well, one more year. Please, no Pete Carroll. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
We'll be right back.
Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know what I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
And the video store is open, if there are any left in the city. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I am also on Facebook. Priscilla Lindsay, artist, director, and now head of the theater department at the University of Michigan, is sitting in with me today.
Hey. Hi, Matt.
Thank you for having...
Go Blue.
Go Blue. Thank you for being here. Kobe Slable is working the board as usual.
Hi, Kobe.
Hey, Kobe.
You're sitting right across from me.
I am.
And you're right over there, man.
It's like a triangle.
It is a triangle. There's three people here.
And you know what? In directing, it's all. He's young. He just graduated, too. He graduated into a job.
Excellent.
Look at that. See how that happened?
Best way to graduate.
And by the way, when it comes to directing, it's all about triangles. Just a little tip. If you can get them in triangles, that's good. Got a couple of notes, Priscilla, via Facebook about you being on the show. Well, let's see. Isn't that the perfect combination, Priscilla and U of M? It's from Ryan Metzger.
Oh,
of course.
Good for him.
Vince Mullen of Indianapolis writes, Priscilla Lindsay is not only a genius of dialect and extremely gifted actress, but also a wonderful person.
That's very sweet.
Hey, Vince of 78 RPM fame. Taylor Martin, was talking about the Expendables. Looks like fluff and fun. It won't be Gone with the Wind or the A-Team. It's right there.
There you go.
Jim Mueller, our old producer, goes, what, no interview with Stallone? He's busy. Lou Harry writes, and who knew she was a fan of Herschel Gordon Lewis?
Oh,
that's...
I probably know.
No, that's quite okay.
That's okay?
No, because I wrote on my Facebook page, I must ask Priscilla how she feels about the Expendables.
He's
assuming you're also a fan of 60s gore films. And Brian Hartz, of course, says, I bet Priscilla could take out a couple of the Expendables. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Dolph Lundgren.
I'm ready.
I know you are. You could be in the winning version, so that's pretty good. Okay, a couple of notes of films that are on DVD and Blu-ray this week. Date Night, because... the first of the Steve Carell trilogy this summer between Expendable Me and Dinner for Schmucks. Well, hey, I didn't name it. We can say it. It was on Charlie Rose.
Of course you can. Of course you can.
I have a general rule. If it's said on Fresh Air or This American Life, I can say it too.
There you go.
Okay.
So there. Also on DVD and Blu-ray, the Neil LaBute version of Death at a Funeral. Because it needed to be remade because it's only 3 years old in English, and we
what
have an American.
That?
I don't know. I'm assuming Mr. LaBute is taking directing jobs so he can finance his next play or his next screenplay.
Yeah.
Why else would you do a remake of The Wicker Man and Death at a Funeral?
Goodness.
I don't know. And if you need these on Blu-ray, you might. You never know. And no, I don't have. Unless they
do
start.
Do you have a Blu-ray?
I do have a Blu-ray
you
player.
Do.
However, I've been and I told. Lynn this before she could say it to me first. I can't convert everything. I just cannot.
Oh,
unless the studio starts sending me stuff to give away, hint, hint. I just cannot. And I got a feeling you have to be very selective when it comes to Blu-ray. I think if it's a show of a visual audio master piece of work, then yes, you would. So here are some films that are now available on Blu-ray, because you know you want them this clear. What's Up, Doc?
Oh, man.
As well as National Lampoon's Vacation and European Vacation.
Oh,
you
need
those
that.
In Blu-ray.
Yeah, you definitely need those in Blu-ray.
Especially Beverly D'Angelo and Chrissy Brinkley, 1983. And the Beverly Hills Cop Collection.
Oh,
1, 2, and 3.
In Blu-ray.
That's 48 hours.
Oh, wait, yeah, that it. I'm going to turn this
Where's
mic
your degree,
off.
Sir?
That's the reason I'm on this side of the board.
Yeah, Beverly Hills Cop 1, yes, decent. 2, worthless. 3, well, no.
Oh, William Marshall with DDOJ.
Sad.
That was sad. That was really sad. Okay. Well, one of the films I was able to watch a little bit, and I actually do recommend this, is the latest film from Roman Polanski called The Ghost Writer. Not Ghost Rider. Polanski didn't direct the bad
not
Nicolas Cage.
He's the only one that can walk on both sides.
Yes. Thank you, sir. Jeez. So I've talked with other people about this, and so I bring this up with you. Of course, it's directed by Roman Polanski, who, by the way, is free. They let him go. And I've jokingly...
How do you feel about that?
Well, my thing was...
I sense some nervousness over there.
No, I do. Because I seriously thought they were going to bring him back. I really, really thought the fact that they were going to bring him back. But I think it's not just a symbol of what our American law system, but our global law system that finally Switzerland just went, you know what, we're letting him go.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing I ask of Roman is if he ever winds up on American soil, the first thing he says when he gets to a microphone is his acceptance speech for winning Best Director for The Pianist, because he hasn't said anything yet.
That's true.
So, but I understand. I really thought he was going to go. I really thought he was going to be tried and thrown in jail again. And I know a lot of directors, especially, have come to his defense. And the question is, can you separate the art from the artist? And, you know, another great example is Elia Kazan. And I remember when he won the honorary award and you saw actors like Nick Nolte and Ed Harris
walking off,
not applauding.
Yeah.
And Priscilla, you have acted and have directed artists of all kinds and shapes and creeds. And, you know, mm-hmm. have you separated the artist from the art?
Well, I think if to judge the art that's created, you have to separate the artist from the art. But I think that we're all human, so there's something a little titillating about having that particular knowledge about an artist. And it's gonna resonate. It's going to affect the way you feel about it. But in terms of judging historically throughout time, of course you have to separate it.
Okay.
Of course, I mean, in my opinion, you can't say... You know, just because this guy did something, you know, 25 years ago, I'm not going to like what he's doing now.
Right.
And I don't think that makes sense.
And by the way, the victims kind of washed their hands of the whole thing and said, let him be.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I'm not saying what he did was right or wrong. I'm just saying his art should stand alone.
Okay. And another great example, of course, is the recent phone recordings of one Mel Gibson, whose conversations have been more entertaining than his last five films.
Isn't that the truth? Ooh. You know, now you bring up Mel Gibson, and I got to think about things.
Oh!
Because I'm so over him.
This is the defense I have. I think I know what you were going. But if Lynn gives me a look at home, I'm like, but she's pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I know a lot of women and some guys too that, you know, still fawn for the days of early 80s Mel Gibson before
totally.
Passion of the Christ and the thing with
Mad Max. Bring back Mad Max.
and the Sugar Bleep, nickname for a female police officer, and now these phone conversations. You know what's bad when the William Morris Agency says, "You know, we don't want to work with you anymore."
That's really bad.
I mean, there's, you know, there are high school or in college athletes that have done dumber things and still stayed on the program. Hello, Gary Burnett.
Well, you know, just a case in point, Mel Gibson has done nothing worth watching. So there's no question there. I mean, there's no artist.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he did Edge of Darkness earlier this spring, and it was okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, not the triumphant return. And Brendan Gleeson was actually far more fascinating. Ray Winstone was far more interesting in that film. But not quite into the torture porn of Apocalypto, or as my colleague Ed Johnson not referred to Passion as the biblical snuff film.
Yeah. And yes, we know so much about everybody anyway. With the kind of...
Could you imagine 24-hour CNN Fox News with Fatty Arbuckle?
Honest to gosh. Or W.C. Fields.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a whole bunch of those folks.
So, I guess there are times... I've been very fortunate that, you know, I've met a number
Mae West. Whoa.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. And then she did Myra Breckinridge.
Uh-huh.
And Sextet.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Mr. Slagle, I think Myra Breckinridge is on your
to-watch
list. It's stunningly bad.
Yeah.
It's stunningly Rex Reed gets a sex change operation and turns into Raquel Welch. And Mae West shows up and she's 70. And it's written by Gore Vidal. It's just deliciously awful.
Yeah.
I know you're terrified, Sarah.
Write it down.
You know, we're going to start with The Room. as a group, but and then we'll move on to other bad things. Yeah, next Friday.
You're teaching him. You're educating him.
Yes, I'm.
That's what this is.
I'm
what this is.
Yes.
The education never stops.
And then in turn, do you give him suggestions?
We'll see. I turned Matt on to the whole.
You did get to the room for me, and I thank you so much. The room is. We'll have to watch this when I come up to Ann Arbor. It is a ridiculously bad. It's now a cult film. Written, directed, and starring.
Produced
Tommy Wiseau, who apparently put down a lot of money into this very cheap looking, very ridiculous drama about a man who's being cheated on by his girl with his best friend.
His
best friend. And plot points come and go.
I hope there's somebody out there that understood that right there.
I know. And the acting is bad. And then it just developed a cult life of its own in L.A. So now I think it's the quest that Mr. Slagle and I bring the room to Indianapolis.
We're going to spread it.
We're going to spread it like,
we'll see what happens.
Like napalm. So that's another, because you got to meet Tommy. You got to meet him at Bloomington.
I didn't get to meet him. They did a screening down in Bloomington at IU this past spring.
And not the most gracious guy during the Q&A?
Not really. I did, I got a football signed by he and Greg Sestero, one of the other stars of the film, and that's sitting in my room at home. I've got an autographed football by Reggie Wayne, and next to that I've got Tommy Wiseau, Greg Sestero.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What
a story, boy.
Oh, we got to organize the screening of that very, very soon. So anyway, I was just curious about that.
Cause, for what it's worth, that's what I mean.
No, that's fine. That's fine. One other note, I forgot to mention this earlier. If you don't have any plans tonight, and it's okay, it's all right. There's lots to do in Indianapolis. It's starting to cool down, we hope. At the IMA, as part of their Summer Night series, they're showing Stand By Me. Rob Reiner's film, which I was fortunate enough last week to attend the red carpet event of.
Yeah, he was
Flipped.
Just here.
Yes, he was just here. And yes, WFYI was on the red carpet. I did not get maced by Penelope Ann Miller, as much as I wanted to say something, but no, I did not. But we got to talk with her, talk with John Mahoney a little bit about Eight Men Out.
What a nice man.
Really.
He's a great guy.
I told him he is one of the actors. I mean, he's a great. We know him by name, but he was a that guy for a long, long time. And you know, a film can't be all bad if he's in it. I told him in this film as well. He's the grandpa. He's kind of the acting equivalent of he comes off the bench, nails a couple threes, and sits like Robert Horry. He's the Robert Horry of character actors. He was in it. Anthony Edwards was there as well. And it was fun telling him that, I was one of nine people that saw Zodiac in theaters, and he was amazing in that. And I've hit people with my DVD copy of Zodiac going, why haven't you seen this? So Rob passed by me, and that's really okay because, I didn't look like some of the ladies, journalists on the red carpet.
We're okay with that.
We're okay with that. It's fine.
There you go.
It's all right. Hey, I have a Rob Reiner film in my intro, the course, Spinal Tap. So he's always a part of this film.
I heard from Jeff Sparks he was thrilled to be here.
Yeah.
Loved it.
This was a major coup, I think, for Indianapolis. It's one thing to have a film shot here, like a Hoosiers or Eight Men Out or in Indiana, like A League of Their Own. But Rob wanted to have the film premiere here because of Heartland, because of Truly Moving Pictures, and it was a big, big event, and hopefully this will lead to bigger and better things, more recognition. I know the Truly Moving Pictures logo, his symbol, the award, has become more prominent, and people are starting to know about it more. So hopefully this will lead to bigger and better things. I will say this, it opens in a couple of weeks. I think I have an embargo. I don't see any assassins with Warner Brother logos outside our window, but go see it. It opens in a couple of weeks, and Rob called it a companion piece to Stand By Me. And I think I need to watch Stand By Me again because I saw it when it first came out, and I was a cynical 15-year-old, and I thought the guys were really whiny. So,
loved it.
I'll have to watch it again.
Yeah.
That's what art does. You review things after a long period of time. Yeah, so there, Slater. All right, we're going to...
That's good, because I didn't know what art is.
That's not true. You know what art is. You want to know what art is.
Yeah.
And other bad Foreigner songs. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we got a couple tributes and more chatting with Priscilla Lindsay. So stick around. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show, here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
not alone.
We got guests.
You got what?
Guests. Guests.
Guests?
Yeah, guests. People. We've got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
Who are you?
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
And welcome, Priscilla Lindsay.
Thank you so much. That's my favorite intro so far.
And don't start in on the bit, Martha.
Oh, gosh.
Did you ever play Martha?
No, you know, that it passed me by. I would love to have played that. It's a bit of a workout.
It's a huge workout. Yeah. By the way, not a date film. Play.
I love that movie, though.
It is a great, great film. Who's Raider Virginia Woolf? That's, yeah. We'll add that to your queue.
Fabulous. She's amazing.
So welcome back to Film Sociology. I'm your host, Matthew Sosi, sitting in with Priscilla Lindsay, who will be... When do you head up to U of M? When do you head up to Ann Arbor?
The end of this month. I start September 1st.
So head is Zingerman's for me.
Oh, I will.
The smoked meat of the month club. One of the best mailing lists that they have there. It's very awesome. Okay, I've got a couple of obits we want to get to before we talk a little more with Priscilla. Actor Dan Ryson... who passed, he's known for two things. He was the Tidy Bowl Man, and Mr. Slagle, he was Dr. Beeper in Caddyshack. Yes,
okay, that's
that guy.
Ringing a bell.
So we love his work. We have screenwriter Tom Mankiewicz, the son of Herb Mankiewicz, who, of course, gave us All About Eve and A Letter to Three Wives. He wrote, among other things, Diamonds Are Forever, Live and Let Die, the first two Superman films, The Eagle Has Landed, Cassandra Crossing, Man with the Golden Gun, Lady Hawk, and Dragnet.
I love Lady Hawk.
Yeah. That was like the first non-villain role for Rutger Hauer in the United States.
Brilliant.
Art director Robert Boyle, who worked with, among others, was nominated four times for North by Northwest.
Oh, my
goodness. So, yeah, he did all that. Gaily, Gaily, Fiddler on the Roof, The Shootist, the original Thomas Crown Affair.
Wonderful.
It Came from Outer Space. The original Cape Fear, In Cold Blood, Private Benjamin, Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. His last film was Winter Kills.
My goodness, what a
career. Great work there. Screenwriter, pardon my Italian, Suso Cece De Micho, who wrote Bicycle Thieves and co-wrote the film The Leopard with Burt Lancaster.
Oh, yes.
The Zika film. That. And this past week, somebody who rocked my foundation at a very young age when I saw her in HUD, but actress Patricia Neal at the age of 83, won an Oscar for HUD. My goodness, got into the business, broke in with The Fountainhead, the original The Day the Earth Stood Still, Facing the Crowd, which is a great film with Elia Kazan and Andy Griffith, Operation Pacific, Breakfast at Tiffany's, In Harm's Way, one of Lynn's favorite date plays, the subject was roses.
Oh, yes.
Oof.
Boy, that's a toughie.
Cookie's Fortune, and as somebody noted out on AM, she was in the original movie, The Homecoming, A Christmas Story, which later became The Waltons.
Oh, my goodness.
She was in that. So here's a little audio. And she's gorgeous in HUD as well. Here she is, Patricia Neal, with Paul Newman in a scene from the 1962 film HUD.
You got a cigarette?
Yeah.
Man, I wish you wouldn't keep me hanging around on the front porch. It makes me feel like I'm selling something.
All right. Come on in.
A little squash.
All right, they'll do. Yeah, so you got things fixed up some.
Try.
Looks pretty good. Except your sweet potato plant over here has got the blight.
I can't seem to get one started.
Well, they need a lot of tender love and care, honey, same as the rest of it.
I keep it in mind. Could I have a match?
Well, what do we got here? Jiffy Portable Hair Dryer. We sit here for a triple screen. Automatic toaster. What have you been doing? A little rustling down at the Five and Dime?
I go in for those prize contests. How shiny that shampoo changed my life in 20 words or less. Now, they give free 2-week trips to Europe. But I end up with the fountain pens and the Japanese binoculars.
Yeah, I won me a turkey raffle once, but it was fixed. I got to be pretty friendly with one of them gals picking the numbers.
It figures.
How much you take the boys for tonight?
$20 and some change.
You're a dangerous woman to have around.
I'm a good poker player.
You're a good housekeeper. You're a good cook. You're a good laundress. What else you good at?
I've taken care of myself.
Shouldn't have to. A woman looks like you do.
Oh, that's what my ex-husband used to tell me. Before he took my wallet, my gasoline credit card, and left me stranded in the downtown motel in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
What'd you do to make him take to the hills? You wear your curlers to bed or something?
It's a gambler. He's probably up at Vegas or Reno right now, dealing at night, losing it all back in the daytime.
Oh, man, like that sounds no better than a heel.
Aren't you all?
Honey, don't go shooting all the dogs because one of them's got fleas.
I was married to Ed for 6 years. The only thing he's ever good for was to scratch my back where I couldn't reach it.
You still got that itch?
Off and on.
Well, let me know when it gets to bothering you.
Oh,
love that gut.
Oh, yes. Here's to you, Mrs. Neal.
Yes.
And Paul Newman.
Kobe, have you seen the original The Day the Earth Stood Still?
I have not.
Oh, my God.
We'll add that to your account as
you
well.
Okay. She's amazing. Michael Rennie, it's a fabulous movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And
but
this,
she walks that fine line. She it could be a simpering, silly part.
It's true. I mean, I don't think she was one to play just the girl. Mm-mm. I mean, and she that could have also been a role in Facing the Crowd, but as the love interest for Andy Griffith, who finds out how corrupt morally he really, really is. But she's just strong in that.
She is.
So,
and she had a hard life. That
she
moment.
Did. She had a stroke at 39.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for her to be able to come back, it was fun seeing her in Cookie's Fortune, which was one of the last films she did with Robert Altman. And I had no idea this. For 30 years, she was married to Roald Dahl.
I know. And her, a marvelous family, great son, very, you know, famous. She had an affair with Gary Cooper early on.
That's right, because they both worked on Fountainhead. Ooh. Yeah, very, if they had 24-hour news back then.
Oh, my golly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my golly.
So, Priscilla Lindsay, have you been able to watch anything since you've been wrapping up your tenure here? And you've been packing?
Yes, I've been packing. I've been saying goodbye to people and all of that, and it's been, you know, it makes me very verklempt.
I understand that.
So, no, I haven't seen. So you have to tell me.
Well, okay, I'm going to file it because I asked you this the first time. Have you gotten to Doubt yet?
Yes.
You did.
I did see Doubt.
And?
Well, I loved it.
Good.
I loved it. I actually liked it better than I thought.
Okay.
I thought maybe he was going to run roughshod over the film because the feeling that I got reading about it was that,
Priest?
Priest.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Right. That Philip Seymour Hoffman came barreling in on the set and then did one take and said that's it.
Right.
And kind of left Meryl in the dust. He didn't leave her in the dust.
No.
She was fine.
No, that was a great fight. I think the only issue I had with the film was some of the symbolism, you know, especially with the feathers and snow.
Oh, yeah,
You know, a lot of shots of weather.
I liked the last scene, though, and he's out in the cold.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
But I think the strength of that film, that story, is the text itself. So
you've
got two seasoned pros, and watching the two of them, it was like a heavyweight boxing match.
Exactly.
So, and the thing about, and this is not a slight on your production, I think they captured a lot. I was laughing a lot, maybe because I grew up Catholic. But Meryl Streep's introduction into the film is during Mass, and she finds a kid who is nodding off. And she just, you don't see her face. Just the camera follows her body. She gets up quietly, gets right behind the poo. Bam! Right in the back of the head of the
That's
kid.
What you can do in a film that we can't do.
Fair enough.
On stage. That was great.
Well, Glenn, I'm glad you finally got to see it.
So,
are you able to, I mean, because the other one I asked if you ever
now
saw
you're
the.
You're going to embarrass me. What
no,
else?
I'm not. Shirley Valentine?
Oh, I saw that ages
ago. Okay.
Pauline Collins?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I saw that after I did it.
Of course, long after.
Yeah.
I think that's the separation thing.
Oh, she's
thing.
Darling. She's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I like her a lot. She did a film after that with Vanessa Redgrave, and it was about women concert violinists and musicians in a concentration camp. In Japan, and they had their heads.
Paradise Road.
That's right.
That was going
that's
close,
right.
actually. Paradise Road. She was in that. She was also the doctor in. No, no, it's okay. She was also in. God, I know this. City of God. City of Joy.
Oh.
Where Roland Joffe had directed it, and it's everybody's favorite cinema doctor, Patrick Swayze. This was the film he did, I think, after Ghost. And so, yeah, he's the disillusioned doctor who goes to India, and she's there, and they start a hospital. But, yeah, that's another woman that, you know, she was a that lady. I know, known much more on stage than she did cinema-wise.
Oh, very much in the British Isles. They adored her there.
Yes.
And then we became acquainted with her.
We also like her as well. So what is up for the first season at U of M as far as plays?
Well, let's see. They're doing The Crucible. They're doing Arms and the Man. They're doing David Edgar's Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
What else are they doing? Help me, Richard. Anything else? Those are the ones my husband's sitting here.
I see.
Not of any help at all. I didn't get to pick this season, which is okay, because I have other things that I'll have to be doing. But I'll have a hand in the season after that.
Now, are you going to be directing any of these? Or?
No.
The first year is just all work.
Yeah, because I came on board a little late for that.
Okay, well, you know,
I'll put my 2 cents in.
Oh, I bet you will.
Yes, I will.
Yeah, as you know, there's a guest actress, child actress, and playwright in residence, you know, that could... We'll send you our stuff.
Yes, you should. Absolutely.
Because, you know, somebody, of course, would love to get out of school just to make a road trip to Ann Arbor for a play.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Emma Rose needs to come up.
Oh, jeez. Don't tell her that.
Oh, yeah. I need to indoctrinate her.
I thought I was the one that was supposed to show her the Ann Arbor lifestyle, not you.
I think we could both do that, don't you?
It keeps me out of the brown jug.
That's right. The days of the pretzel bell, gone.
Oh, my gosh.
That's all right. There are new wonderful places.
It's been a while since I've been up there, because I remember Rick's American Cafe was still there, and the Blind Pig, and the Brown Jug, and, of course, the greatest deli on earth. That's not Shapiro's in the north. That's Zingerman's. That's a must-have. So.
Oh, definitely.
And you're going to go to the games this year?
Absolutely. We have season tickets.
Oh, my gosh. See, perks of the job.
Oh, we're excited.
And I remember talking to your husband. I said, so when's the first game at home? And he goes, against Connecticut.
I know.
You're not the first.
They're good this year.
Man.
I mean, they're good. We're in trouble. We are.
Besides the whole Rich Rodriguez over practicing his kid
thing. We're looking. We need a strong defense. We'll hope.
I miss the days of Bo and Lloyd.
I know.
They were just insufferable human beings, not illegal.
Ohio State fans listening right now are just, you know.
Yes. I know. I have a.
It's not fun.
I have an annual bet with a friend who is from Ohio, and the loser has to watch a bad film by the winner's choice.
Man.
And
you've been watching a lot of those. Yeah.
I know. Thank you for reminding me.
Sorry about that.
Trust me, I've had Myra Breckinridge on my desk for years just waiting to inflict it on this guy. So, and maybe you too, Kobe. I think, next week we'll do the segment you want to talk about.
What's that?
Well, we'll preview it. Go ahead. What's it called?
New segment next week called What is Kobe Watching?
So we can educate the young producer man.
That too.
So, well, anyway, Priscilla, thank you so much for sitting in with us.
Pleasure.
Can't wait to come up and see you in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, you better.
And, of course, you know, the house is always open here at FYI and the Soce home whenever you're in Indianapolis.
Thank you very much.
We have some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
So, on behalf of Kobe Slagle and Priscilla Lindsay, I'm Matthew Soce. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Stay cool. It's August, and school starts next week. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
This is WFYI HD2 Indianapolis, The Point.
From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is Fresh Air.